I thought about this one a few times I have, and I decided it would be a good idea to preach on this on the back of the feminist series for one reason, because a lot of times, you know, a woman will never think of themselves, even a Christian one especially, would never think of themselves as a feminist. But the important thing is to understand is, do I have any traits of feminism? You know, do I have any of those, do you have any of those identifying factors in that? And with this, but this also gets to the heart of matter of Christians, because he's talking about specific characteristics of women. And he's saying that there are brawling, angry, and contentious women in the Bible. The Bible talks about that. And the Bible identifies what that is. And I think it's important that we identify what that is. Because you know what? Nobody here knows how you are besides your husband. All right? Nobody here knows if you have those traits or not. Because you're not going to show those around us. At least not on purpose. Right? And also, to warn us against having these type, warning a lady not to have this type of a spirit, and to identify what that type of spirit is, kind of explain it a little bit, and it'll help you to get right with God. The one thing these things do is they reveal who you are. They reveal traits about you, and if you see these traits in you, then you have to get right with God. And these are not fun messages. You won't find these preached at too many ladies' conferences. You won't find me invited as a special guest speaker at too many ladies' conferences with a big love offering and airfare expenses paid for. Nice hotel room. Fruit basket. Fruit basket. Poison basket. For me. I don't think you'll find those invitations. However, it's in the Bible and it should be talked about. I want to preach another message sometime too on the prudent wife. I believe that's important too. Very important to talk about the prudent wife. And we'll talk about that too in the weeks to come. And there'll be some messages on husbands, of course, and there'll be some messages on children that are important, those ongoing messages. These are the kind of messages that make us think about who we are and about how to get right when we see things or hear things and examine ourselves. Brother Jacob was talking about that yesterday, about self-examination. We were talking about that a little bit in the van. Self-examination is very important. You know, the first thing time you hear a message like this shouldn't be, I need to find this trait in somebody else. It should be, do I have this trait in me? If you can easily point this trait out as a lady, if you can easily point this trait out in another sister, you might be having three fingers pointed back at you. That might be the problem. Right? Preaching is never for somebody else. It's always for you first. Then it's for somebody else. Right? Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Wow, that's a full statement there. Verse number 19 says it is better to dwell in the wilderness. He just steps up his game a little bit. Things are getting bad for this guy. He goes from the top of the house to the wilderness. Either the cooking's bad or that lady's mean. One of the two's going on here. All right? Because he went from the housetop to the rooftop to the wilderness. It's not looking good for this fella, is it? He says, it's better to dwell in the wilderness. Look, it's better for me, and I'll explain all that to you. All right, Brother Dave, I'm going to explain that to you today. It is better to dwell in the wilderness without cold brew and cookies. No, I'm just kidding. Than with a contentious and an angry woman. You think about that for a minute now. What he's saying here. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 15. Another verse we're going to look at, and then we're going to get into this and explain this. Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Wow. Every time I preach on this, Brother Finney smiles. He's like, I'm single. I'm already in the White House. Home free like a bird, right, Brother Finney? No. Brother Scott, too. He's like, hey, I got the house. I'm doing good. Oh, amen. Brother Zach, temporarily, right? Yeah, amen. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, please help us as we go through this subject here today. Help us to look at what the Bible says about this and help our ladies and our daughters as we raise them for the glory of God, our daughters, Lord, that they would know and understand what a brawling, contentious, angry woman is and not to have those traits and not to be that way. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the Bible gives us these warnings in Scripture for the home life. I don't really believe that it's a problem here in this church as much that any woman seeks to be a brawling, angry, contentious woman. But that doesn't mean that you may not have some of those traits. I have no proof that any of that is a problem here. But it is the Bible, and it does need to be preached on. There are so many things that are never preached on today or talked about. This is one of those. The home life, feminism, those kind of things. And I'm not done with that feminism series yet either. But that's for another day. But the further our churches slip into political correctness, the more these topics are never discussed. They cannot be talked about. And then self-examination never takes place because the Word of God is not applied to the heart and to the life of the person. And you never have to examine yourself. If preaching is always light and fluffy, and there is no straightforward to the heart preaching, then you won't get right with God. I've seen that. I can take this microphone around to the lives of the testimonies of the people in this room, and they can tell you that very thing. I can tell you, and Lee, I don't mean to bring all your sins up, but I'm going to bring a few up today, your former sins. Not to be an accusation, but just to tell of the what God did in your life. When I first met Lee, one of the things, he was still listening to music he shouldn't listen to. Why? Nobody preached on it. Nobody really preached on it. He was still doing things that he wouldn't do now, 10 years ago. Why is that? His wife was lost. Right? She wasn't saved. They have grown over 10 years' time. Why? Because of the Lord's grace and His mercy. And also because preaching is done that preaches the devil out of you. It preaches the wickedness out of you. How many here would have stopped listening, watching Hollywood movies if they had never watched or listened to Hollywood Satanic Roots? How many could say that, well, I never would have done that? I know for a fact if somebody didn't show me the truth about that, I would have kept doing it. Right? I know there's people in this room that never would have stopped. If you don't preach on it, they won't think about it. They won't. That's just how it is. Right? This is one of those things that must be preached about, must be talked about. So examination can take place. So you can grow as a Christian. So you can lay aside those sins and those weights which does so easily beset you. You can lay them aside and examine myself and take a hard look. That's not fun, is it? Taking a hard look at yourself after you've heard the truth and saying, you know what? I'm kind of like that. I need to get that right. I need to deal with that. Amen. Could you imagine if the main focus was a sermon like this at one of those ladies' meetings or one of those places like that? Could you imagine? Man, they'd throw the cinnamon rolls at you. There'd be some revival. Yeah, some might get right. Others might kill you. We know what would happen if that at that meeting. It wouldn't be very popular, would it? You know, peacefulness in the home life is vital. We war outside of our homes and in this world so much. So when we're at home, it should be a place of peace. And a good wife will promote peace. Right? So, let's look at some of these terms here. Let's define the terms. Number one, what is a brawling woman? What is a brawling woman? Well, that word brawling, it actually means quarreling. It means a woman that likes to fight. That's what it means. A woman that likes to fight. A woman that likes to get into it with her husband or her children. She likes to get scrappy. She likes to argue. I want to help you with something. Ladies, I want to help you with something. It is not your job to correct your husband's every error. That is not your job. You are not a preacher. You are a wife. And you are a helpmeet. It is not your job to fix your husband. It's your job to help your husband. Amen. Right? I want everybody to pay attention very closely and try not to be distracted, because I think this will help your marriage more than you realize. To quarrel means noisily and indecently. To speak loud and indecently. To roar as water. To make a noise. She's a loud lady, basically, a loud woman, which the Bible warns us about. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 11 says she is loud and stubborn. Loud and stubborn. So one thing you teach your daughters, to have a meek and a quiet spirit, which we're going to get into, which is the opposite. But this lady is a brawling woman. That doesn't mean with her fist, although it could mean. Could mean. But it usually means with her mouth, with her words, with her actions. She wants to get into an argument. She's argumentative. She wants to argue. She likes to fight. Right? That's what that means, to quarrel, to speak loudly, to roar as water, to make a noise. She is a clamorous and noisy woman. Speaking and repeating loud words. Noisy, vociferous, loud, turbulent. Always turbulent, always can't go with the flow, but got to go against it. Has to make things harder. On a crusade to win the argument. Because you know you're right. The louder a woman is, the more trouble that will come her. And there is a reason for that, because her power lies in her submissive and quiet spirit. That's where the power lies. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, please. You know what the problem is today? Is that a lot of women, because feminism is so pushed in society, you can't suffer yourself to be wronged at all. You can't suffer yourself to be slighted at all. You don't see that as bearing the reproach for Christ's sake. But you have to respond to everything. Because in this internet age, we are taught that somebody sends you something or says something, it must be responded to immediately. Why? Why? Why does it have to be? It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be responded to immediately. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word. You know what that means? It means you're not supposed to preach to your husband. See that? That's what it says. You see that, don't you? I've got an iPad so I can blow it up for you. But that's what it says. You're not supposed to preach to your husband. It says without the word. See how that works? If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. What does that mean? What does the conversation mean? You know what that means? Huh? Her life. Her way of life, her manner of living. That's what it means. It says it's the her manner of life, the way you live and how you conduct yourself and how you deal with things that come your way and adversities and trials in the marriage and everything else. How you deal with it will win. Well, how's that happen? He explains that in verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation. That's how. So, let me say this to you, because I know what you're thinking right now. How's that going to work? Well, it's called faith. You have to believe what God says in His Word about this. And if you go warring against your husband with words, you are proving and illustrating that you really don't believe it. Because if you believed it, you would practice it. Right? That word chaste, it means, while they behold your chaste, free from obscenity, in language, pure, genuine, uncorrupt, free from barbarous words and phrases and extravagant expressions. You know what that means? You don't do that. Right? Right. Chaste. Not barbarous. What does that mean? Like brawling words. Words that promote brawling. Words that promote quarrels. Words that promote arguments. Right? That you as a lady, you don't do that. That means. Isn't it something? There's one, you know, you read through these verses, you're like, boy, I don't think I got that last time I read that. I know, you probably didn't. Because when you start examining Scripture word for word, you see a lot of things that you didn't see before. Isn't that right, Brother Finney? Yeah. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, reverence. Not a slavish fear, but reverence. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. As a meek and a quiet spirit, you wear it. It's an ornament. So you either wear a quarreling, brawling spirit, or you wear a meek and quiet spirit. You wear it, one way or another. Right? You have to put it on. You're wearing it one way or another. Either what you have is a meek and quiet spirit, or what you have is a brawling, quarrelsome, argumentative spirit. But you wear it either way. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid of any amazement. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have to ask yourself, is my husband the Lord of his house? If he is, then you're not. Right? If he is, then as a lady, you're not. Think about that. Feminism has taught you an entirely different lesson. And most American women today have bought it hook, line, and sinker. They have bought into it. Most Christian women in America today have bought into it. And they think there is virtue in them quarreling with their husband. Listen, friend. That spirit is not tested when all is well and things are going great. It's tested when things are going wrong and you are challenged to not be a loud, quarreling, brawling woman. It's easy to submit when everything's going great. Right? That's not hard. Man, it's easy to trust God when you got a bank account full of money. It's easy to trust God when everything's going your way. It's a lot harder to trust God when you look at that checkbook and there ain't nothing in it. Sure is. It's a lot easier to trust God when there's no adversity. So when you wake up one day and you figure out your husband's not perfect, I don't know how many days that took for you. Right? May it happen quicker for some of you than others. Right? But nevertheless, it happened. You woke up one day and you found out my husband is not perfect. I don't know how this happened. Right? I don't know how this happened. But what? How did I get stuck with him? What happened? That guy is not perfect. Right? I'm looking at all these ladies, I'm laughing. They're like, it didn't take very long. Yeah, sure does. You know, that quarrelsome spirit, that it's a woman who is always noisy and quarrelsome. Her violent passions, her storming language and thundering voice are the inclemencies of the heavens. Her speech provokes to anger instead of a soft answer turning away wrath. Her speech provokes the flames of a disagreement. You can go in either direction very easily. You can either suffer some reproach as a wife and pray, or you can get your word in, or the last word in, to win the battle but lose the war and lose your effectiveness to move your husband's heart. What brawling women don't realize, and those women with that quarrelsome fighting spirit don't realize, is that there's much more power in that meek and quiet spirit to move the heart of your husband. Much greater. Why? Because that's God's way. God blesses that way. God has ordained that to be the way for a lady to influence her husband. Right? That's God's design. So that's why it's effective. What's not effective is you arguing your way into victory. No, that doesn't work. What happens is the opposite. What happens is you stoke the flames, you lose respect of your husband, and you lose respect for your husband. Because it's not God's way. Kindness from a wife moves a man's heart. Listen, the most attractive part of a woman is not her body or her face, but it is her meek and quiet spirit. It is what God prizes in her above all else. Right? It's the meek and quiet spirit. It's valuable. Very valuable. When you lose that, and you step out of that, you really do change the image into that which is against the nature of the way your Creator made you to be. And it's ugly. There's nothing uglier than a loud woman. Nothing. I don't care how good, how pretty her face is. There's nothing more unattractive than a loud woman. I see it all the time in the world. I watch these women, and it's just like, it's ugly. Yeah, it's gross. It's really gross. Mm-hmm. And when Christian women are loud like that, it mars the image. It's not the way God intended it to be at all. Yeah, they wonder why, and that's why women are treated like men today, because they act like men. If you act like a man, you'll get treated like one by a lot of people. Next, the Bible describes this woman as angry. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. One man said it this way. He said, no social discomfort is to be compared to that of an ill-tempered wife that is always brawling and scolding, ever in a quarrelsome and angry disposition and provoking to anger all about her. I've met children that were raised by a mother that's always angry. Mm-hmm. It affects them greatly. It affects how they choose a spouse. It affects how they treat other people. Unbridled passions embittered and spoil the comfort of all relations. A peevish, angry wife makes her husband's life uneasy, to whom she should be a comfort and a helpmeet. Those cannot dwell in peace and happiness that cannot dwell in peace and love. Even those that are one flesh, if they are not with all one spirit, have no joy of their union. Do you see that? You can be one flesh through the marriage, but not one in spirit with one another. Then you have a problem. They have no joy of their union. It is better to have no company than bad company. The wife of thy covenant is thy companion, and yet if she be peevish and provoking, it is better to dwell in a solitary wilderness exposed to the wind and weather than in company with her. A man may be better enjoy God and himself in a wilderness than among a quarrelsome relations and neighbors. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. When a woman does not have rule over her spirit and her tongue, trouble comes. I'm going to say this to you, and you might not like it, but the biggest troublemakers I've ever seen in churches, in homes, in the world, are women. Because they can run their mouth and cause more trouble and more problems than anybody you can imagine. Because when a guy runs his mouth, people don't listen a lot of times, but when a woman does, a lot of people listen. I've seen them cause a lot of damage to people by running their mouths. That's why the Bible says there to be home, so they stay out of trouble. Proverbs chapter 16, or excuse me, Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Grievous words from a wife. What does that mean? Well, lady, you know that there's some hot buttons that you can push to stir up anger with your husband. If you've been married long enough anyway, you understand there's some things that you can say that you know are probably going to push the buttons that are going to cause an argument. And you know that you can back off from that and avoid an argument. Right? But you also know that if you push it, you know that you can cause an argument. Right? You know that that argument can come very easily if you just say a few words. The Bible talks about that. It says grievous words stir up anger. There's a few things that you can say that a lady can say to a husband in different circumstances, things that will make him mad. Right? And in fact, you know that they'll make you angry. that they'll make him angry. You know that. Yep. An angry woman is a fretful or contentious woman. Proverbs chapter 25, 26 talks about that. We've read a few of those verses. I think it's the one. Let's see. Well, that talks about the righteous man falling down before the wicked is a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. A little different, but anyway, let's see. 27:15. Oh, Proverbs 19:13 also. I think it's one of them. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Like a nagging wife. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. Continual dropping. You ever stood somewhere and then drops just keep falling on you? It annoys you because it's dropping on your head? That's that continual nagging. That's when you can have no peace in the home life when that takes place. Because there's a continual nagging over and over again. It's not good. It comes from an angry spirit with no contentment. Next, the Bible then describes the contentious woman. It says you're better be on a housetop or in the wilderness than with a contentious, angry woman, right? A woman that's always brawling and scolding, ever in arguments, an angry disposition, and provoking to anger all about her. What does it mean? It means she's apt to contend. Contentions, contending. Given to angry debate. Mm-hmm. They like to get into it with men. They like to get in an argument with men or women. We're going to talk about that in a minute, too. Exciting or adapted to provoke contentions or disputes. Women ought to be about peace. Men ought to be too. But women ought to be about peace and contentment, not about strife and arguments. When a woman is an arguer, when she's quarrelsome, when she has to stand up for herself, so to speak, I'm not talking about being a doormat for anybody. Anytime you preach something like this, you're going to get accused of that. Never mind all the sermons I've preached on husbands that are way, way stronger than any of these, and how I think most of the ills of this world are the problem of a man in the first place, but and his responsibility being neglected. But you get that reaction from somebody that, oh, you just expect women to be a doormat. No, I expect them to be godly. That's what I expect. I expect Christian women to be godly. Because that's what God says. Exciting or adapting. So in a contentious subject. Lady, that might mean bringing up things that you know are going to be contentious right away. Just for the sake of being contentious or because you have to win an argument. So you're going to bring it up to do that. It may be the timing that will bring in contentions. Your timing, if your timing is off, and you know it, it's a bad time to bring something up, and you bring it up, you're going to get the argument that you want. It's very easy. And most of you know that. But it's using wisdom and patience and forbearing and trusting God. That's how you, listen, you wonder as a lady, how do you exercise faith? You see your husband exercise faith in many different ways. How do you? By forbearing and loving your husband and your children through hard times, through hard things, through struggles, when he's not perfect, when he makes mistakes, when he does things wrong, when you don't agree with some things, whatever the case may be, that's how you exercise faith and you trust God and you believe God. I'm tired of hearing all these messages about women being out out in the world and doing all these things and all these women's meetings and all this stuff, when they never cover this. The plain simple truth is your faith is exercised in your home. It's exercised in your relationship with your husband and your children. That's where you exercise your faith. That's the place you're supposed to be, and that's what you're supposed to be working on. Not trying to perfect your husband and make him something better. No, you aid him and you help him. Not to correct him. God corrects him. Not you. It's God's place. I wonder if I'm hitting any buttons. Just a few. Huh? I feel like the monkey in Aaron's picture that's hitting all the buttons right now. Mm-hmm. Because I understand that nobody ever preaches on that. Nobody else tells you, where do you exercise faith, that lady? You watch your husband exercise faith. He's concerned with bills. He's concerned with all these other things in the world and dealing with different people and different things, everything else. Where do you have to exercise your faith? Right here. You have to actually believe God. And then you have to keep the place that God has put you in. And you have to keep the subjection that God has placed you in. And you're not the leader, so stop trying to be. Because it isn't going to work. All it's going to do is disrupt the home. All it's going to do is disrupt the marriage. All it's going to do is cause strife and contentions. Which brings me to another point, which I thoroughly enjoy to bring up, that I have seen this spirit on social media. I've seen this spirit on Facebook and social media. Listen, lady, you have no business arguing with men on social media at all, period, none, no place. You don't get to virtually leave your home and go off into social media and argue with men. It's the same argumentative spirit that God said was wrong. That God identified as an argumentative, brawling spirit. God didn't call you to go argue with men online and leave that meek and quiet spirit and turn into some barbarian woman out there on the internet. Is that crystal clear? Right. Claiming Christianity the whole time while you are a brawling, angry, contentious woman online. Crystal clear. Exactly. I've seen some of those women online that act spiritual and holy while they're arguing with men. We see no women in the Bible daily disputing with men over doctrine. We see them caring for their home. I got an idea. Mind your own business. Go be a Jezebel to your own husband if that's what you want to do. Social media is such a disaster for women. Because they get on there and those women that argue nonstop. And they get in preachers' faces like I've seen some of these Jezebels do. They'll jump on my threads and my public pages and all that other stuff. And they'll just start yelling and acting like they're holy and spiritual. And what's that? Yeah, they start barking. Think about that. To sit there and be quarrelsome and debate theology, we don't see any women in the Bible doing that. We don't see that happening. The virtual world has given every woman with rebellion in her heart a platform to go online and argue with men that hopefully she would never do in person. But I have my doubts. If that woman feels so inclined and at liberty to argue with men online and have that quarrelsome language and believe it, it's for her to earnestly contend for the faith. I've seen amass that. God, I'm going to earnestly contend for that. No, you don't. Right. She is either ill-informed as to her duties as a lady, mother, or wife, or she's a rebellious, leather-tongued, lying Jezebel that believes it's her place and duty to argue with men. How many times have we seen these people? It's an angry, contentious, and brawling spirit. And just because the internet was invented doesn't mean it gives you a platform to not be a godly lady. It's just as wicked for you to do it online as it is for you to do it in person. Probably more so. Because you hide behind a covering. A cloak. I've seen so many professing Christian women go online and bark like a dog and get into arguments with men. Just ridiculous. The best thing you can do if you're going to be on there is block men who will be contentious with you. What am I supposed to do? Back off and let them win? Yeah. Yeah, back off. Yeah, close your account. Yeah. Don't try to be a man. I suspect many of those women have a problem with that online and cannot contain themselves because they're horrible wives, wives that drive a man into the wilderness and make him run for cover. That's what I think. That's why they got to argue like that. Because they can't do it at home as easy, so they can go online and do it easier. And then go argue with men they don't even know. And act like that's a godly spirit for a woman to have. I know men that'll take on a lion rather than stand up to their own wives. So those wives with their angry and bitter spirit take over that man. He submits to their every angry whim. Because they're angry and rebellious and they want to lead in a marriage and in everything. The more they all get online and talk about how... Here's another thing that I see these women get online with, and they start talking about how much they love their husbands, and they start talking back and forth to each other online. It's like, why do you need that to do that? Why don't you just talk to your husband? Why do we have to see you talk to your husband or your husband talk to you? Because it's fake. Because you're really, like, fighting at home. Like, I have a feeling like it's like WWE at home. Like, I have a feeling like they're throwing people through the walls. They're throwing knives at each other. They're throwing pans at each other. I think these people hate each other. That's what I think. Because the only people I ever seen that they had a redneck battle down south. Called his mama Jezebel and... Right? And it was like a bad episode of Jerry Springer. And then you'd see him fight. I would see him in like person... fight and argue with each other, and then online, like, I love you, Sugar Plum! I love you! I can't stand that fake stuff, man. I can't. And then they're like fighting each other in real life, right? We won't go into specifics. All I'm saying is that, and then it's like, and then their marriage ends and they get a divorce, like, the next week. Or 6 months later. Right? Somehow it was probably my fault. But I watch them do that stuff, and it's like, it's just fake. It's ridiculous. It's not real. When they really have that quarrelsome spirit. By the way, let me say this. I've also seen women be quarrelsome and contentious with other women instead of soft and kind with one another and deal with them in love and kindness with patience and long-suffering. Listen, if you're a lady and you're looking to be offended, it won't be hard for you to be offended. I'll probably offend you at least 1,000 times. But, irregardless of myself, somebody will offend you. If you're looking to be offended by another lady and you're a lady, it won't take much. She can just look at you a certain way, and you're going to be like, I don't like the way she looked at me. And I'm always like, well, I don't care how you look at me. Giannis always looks at me funny. I don't care. Right, Giannis? I don't care. Do you? You don't care if I look at you funny, do you? No. And Aaron looks funny. Yeah, you do. Anyway, but to a lady, you could make a big deal out of anything. Or they said something this way, or they do something this way, or they, well, yeah, everybody's different. They're called individuals. And what you think is a big deal, I pretty much think is a waste of time. Honestly, like the things that people think are a big deal, I'm looking like, you're all like a bunch of little kids. So, you know, if you're looking for offense in a quarrel, you'll get one. Instead of having a meek and quiet and loving spirit. You say, well, then I might get walked on. Somebody might take advantage of me. Well, join the club. Happens all the time. Try pastoring people and loving them. Try being a mother. You get walked on all the time. Literally. Right? Daily. Hourly. Sometimes, you know, with people, you just have to suffer some reproach and put a smile on and love people anyway. Say, well, that's being fake. No, it isn't. It's called charity. It's the bond of perfectness. It's called loving people. Right? I'm not saying you have to be a doormat, but what about suffering some reproach or suffering for well-doing and forbearing some things in love? Listen, ladies, you got to be careful about being quarrelsome with one another. I see it online. I see it. I've seen it among people here sometimes. There's not enough of you to bite and devour one another. There's not. There's not enough. You can destroy one another. There's not enough of you, though. James chapter 4, verse number 1. Turn there, please. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes there's a time to fight, but our spirit must not be contentious always, looking for a fight or a brawl, especially in a lady. You shouldn't have a tongue that promotes strife. Listen, lady, you be careful because you can go to your husband and you can promote strife about something and make an issue bigger than what it is. You gotta be careful about that. You know, you gotta be careful about doing that because that can be you can get carried away with that. You can make that issue bigger. And then it becomes a problem. That's why I think if two ladies have too much of a problem, then if they're married, then in a church setting like this, then the two husbands ought to get together and deal with it. Because they can think clear and not so emotional. Because what happens is emotions get tied up in there with women, and there's like this streak of unforgiveness that can come. And this root of bitterness that can come. And it can cause a lot of damage. It'll corrupt many. All over disagreements. Because women aren't very good at compartmentalizing those things. If somebody does something wrong, then they're all bad. There's nothing good about them. They're scum. Wipe them off the bottom of your feet. Kick them out. Stab them in the heart. Throw them out. Let them bleed out outside. And I'm not kidding you. Women can be ruthless. Right? Where if a husband is not thinking like a woman, and he thinks like a man, and he sits down and he listens, and he reasons, he can say, you know, I don't think that's necessary. Back up a little bit. Right? That can happen very easily. That's why it's not good, though, for them to be consumed on social media, chat sites, and other things like that for women, because you're not made to be contentious. You're not made to be able to handle all that. Nope, not at all. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want to show you this. This brawling and contentious woman can be seen even with other women and dealing with other women. This was a situation that happened in the church here in Philippians chapter 4. Paul dealt with this, and I want you to notice something that he said. He said, therefore, my brethren, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Who were they? Bet you thought they were husband and wife, or two men, right? Two elders. Nope, they're two women. There are two women in the church, and they were connected with the church, and there was enmity between them. They were Esma women and active in Christian work, but they differed, and a scandal ensued, and it caused problems in the church. The cause of the quarrel may have been the feminine nature was sensitive, and offense was taken, which usually is what it is. Disadvantageous things were whispered of each other. Then it became a topic of common conversation, and two parties may have been formed. The apostle, in his efforts to check the evil, wisely abstained from entering into the details. He didn't leave the details in there. He knew there were two sides to the question. Hence, he entreats them to give up their dissension of their own accord from the love of Christ. Eutychus means fragrance, and Syntyche, a talker, may have settled their differences, but they stand as a permanent example of the pettiness of mere bickering and of the danger that arises from uncontrolled use of the tongue. Right? That impact can be socially, you know, that same spirit. A woman may drop a word concerning a neighbor, hinting that she is extravagant or self-indulgent, and she is noticed, shunned, chilled, and embittered. Domestically, those same things can happen. A sharp word may be uttered in the family, and the rest of the family made miserable for it. Right? Ecclesiastically, at a church, a trifling act or word has often split up a church, and a slanderous hint whispered about a minister's doctrine or practice, which ruins him. Religiously, perhaps the venom of slander is more intense here than anywhere. Under the appearance of anxiety for truth and justice, what injury is often done. People say, oh, I'm doing this for the truth, so they just totally slander people. Spurgeon said this, one sure way of peacemaking is to let the fire of contention alone. Neither fan it, nor stir it, nor add fuel to it, but let it go out of itself. It means when people attacked him and slandered him, he paid him no mind. He didn't answer them. He didn't go to the world to answer. He might have said some things to his church, obviously, but he didn't go to the world to answer them. Nope. You know, the same thing. It's interesting. A pastor's ministry is a lot like this in the sense that you may come to me with things, and you may be full steam ahead, and I may put the brakes on. Just like that. You may wonder why sometimes I put the brakes on with different things. What was the reason for that? Because sometimes it's moving too fast. And I know what people can handle. Right? Sometimes there's time to step on the gas. Amen. But in this case, you know, with not fanning the flames of contentions, right? Be careful. Don't fan those flames. Have a forgiving spirit when it comes to your brethren. You gotta have that forgiving spirit. With Brother Finney's ministry, we're stepping on the gas. We got a lot to do. So you're going to see a lot of things in the future because it's time to go. We got a lot to do, Brother Finney. A whole lot to do. A lot of ideas, and we're going to keep Luke and Brother Bicey are busy for a very long time, I think. So the Lord led us to pick up the pace on some things, and I'm excited about it. And there's some other things, too, we're going to be doing. So I'm looking forward to it. This year is going to be an exciting year for what the Lord has in store for us, I believe. And it's going to be exciting. But we thank the Lord for that. I'm looking forward to all the opportunities to get the truth out to people this year. Amen. A much needed truth. And if any of you young men have an interest in learning about this subject too, more in depth, you need to get in touch with Brother Finney. Spend some time with Brother Finney and talk with him. If you have an interest in learning more about church state law ministry from a perspective of learning how things are done, how things are operating, things like that, you need to get in touch with Brother Finney. All right? He'd love to show you. Isn't that right, Brother Finney? He'd love to spend some time with you and teach you some things and show you. And that would be a blessing. So I want you to keep that in mind and pray about that. You don't have to just be young. You could be old, too, if you want to be. That's okay, too. Right, Brother Finney? Amen. That's right. We do. We are praying for someone, for God to raise somebody up that Brother Finney can train in the ministry as well, for that important ministry. So you keep praying for that. That is something that we are stepping on the gas here, so to speak, and moving into high gear with it. So I want to be able to do more. So you pray about that. Next, he says here, he calls her a continual dropping. We're almost done here. A continual dropping in a very rainy day. That is through the roof of a house which is not well covered, right? That it's thoroughly raining down. It keeps continually dropping. It's a great annoyance of those within, and which is very uncomfortable to them. Think about that. It says, and a contentious woman are alike, a troublesome and uncomfortable as a rainy day. A man cannot go abroad with any pleasure, and if the rain is continually dropping upon him in his house, he cannot sit there with any comfort. And so a contentious woman that is always scolding and brawling a man, has no comfort at home. And if he goes abroad, he is jeered and laughed at on her account by others, and perhaps she the more severely falls upon him when she returns for having been abroad. See, she rains on him constantly. Right? He can neither sit, stand, work, nor sleep without being exposed to these droppings. One man said, God help the man who's in such a case with his house or wife. It's a continual irritation. The irritating, unceasing sound of the fall, drop after drop of water. You ever tried to sleep and you could hear a drip somewhere? You ever tried to do that? Oh, man, I've tried that before. It's like, I look over at my wife and this is driving me nuts. I got to find out where that is. I can hear it. I can hear it. Somewhere you can hear it, right? It's driving you nuts. Well, a cross wife is as a great an affliction. Her contentions are continual. Every day and every hour in the day, she finds some occasion to make herself and those about her uneasy. Those that are accustomed to chide never want something or other to chide at. But it is a continual dropping that is a continual vexation of spirit. That man has an uncomfortable life and has need of a great deal of wisdom and grace to enable him to bear his affliction and to do his duty. Who has a sought for a son and a scold for his wife. Guy's in rough shape. All evils as elements are most troublesome when out of their proper place, as impiety in professors, injustice in judges, and discomfort in a wife. This is like a tempest in the haven, most troublesome, most dangerous. He finally says, it's better to be in the wilderness. That's how bad. It's better to be in the wilderness. You ever seen a man that can't? You know, I've met men before that are never home. Never home. And the reason they're never home is because their wife drives them insane. And every time they go home, there's like a constant nagging. So they will work 1,000 hours a week if they have to stay away from her. Yep. They'll put as many hours as they can, they'll do whatever they can to stay away from them. I've met men like that. They couldn't deal with their wife and stand up and teach her the truth, so they worked like 80 hours a week and slept at their own office. Truth is stranger than fiction. Mm-hmm. And use the excuse to get out of debt to do it. I'll tell you what, I can't forget all the things that God taught me because of those things. The wilderness is better, it says. It shows how miserable a man can live his life if he has a wife that is a brawling, contentious woman. You know, Solomon, he seems to speak out of experience here. Doesn't he? The man with 700 wives and 300 concubines. I guess he had some experience. I think out of those, a few of those were probably brawling, mean. I mean, he's going to the wilderness. He's going anywhere he can. He's like, I'm going on the rooftop tonight. I'm getting away from this woman or women. An army of women, yeah. You know, the wilderness is a place where persons live without shelter and are not only exposed to storms and everything else, but to beasts of prey. Where there's want of necessities of life and nobody to talk to. Right? But Solomon said, it's better, you're better off in the wilderness than with that mean old woman. Right? She's junkyard dog mean. Right? Better off in the wilderness. You mean with lions and tigers and bears? Right? You're better off there? That's what Solomon said. Right? He says, you're better off there than with that brawling, angry woman. I think this is what Trapp said. He said, among ravenous beasts and venomous serpents in greatest danger and want of all necessary accommodations, this is so much worse than the housetop as an angry and vexatious woman, which like a mad dog bites all about her and makes them as mad as herself. I love Trapp. He's funny. Is worse than her that is not so much angry as unquiet. She talks too much. She's mad and she talks too much. I hope I didn't make everybody mad today, Brother Adam. Somebody's going to poison my ham. Okay, he says, is worse than her that is not so much angry as unquiet. Brawling as dogs bark sometimes in the night, accustomed or fancy and not provoked by any. So what he's saying is that you're better off in the wilderness than around that mean woman. So like that old preacher said, quit your meanness. All right. There is a certain demeanor that you're to conduct yourself with, a spirit that you're to have, that meek and quiet one. And you're to have that not when times are easy, but when times are hard. That's when it's proven. It's not proven when things are easy. But you have to ask yourself, do I have any traits of a brawling and contentious, angry, clamorous, loud woman? You know? You have to ask yourself that question in all sincerity. You probably know the answer already. God will reveal it to your heart. He probably already has, if you have those traits. And it's something that if you have, you need to repent of. And you need to guard your spirit against it. Amen. You have to guard your spirit against it because think about it this way. We have another generation coming up that we're trying to raise and teach. And if you don't have a meek and quiet spirit, you're going to raise some barbarous women. Right? Under the guise of Christianity, you'll raise some barbarous women. I've seen them, by the way. They're so bold to go online and argue with preachers, get mad at the sermons, talk about it, comment about it online. Right? Angry. You'd probably never see, those women probably would never be caught dead doing that to a preacher to his face. But they'll do it online. Right? just think about that. Think about your own life and think about dealing with others that you don't have that spirit. Be careful. It matters. We'll talk further about the prudent wife, a few of the others that the Bible talks about, the importance of that. And we'll talk about some husbands too, I'm sure, along the way. Traits of godly men. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Help us, Lord, to follow your word and be submissive to it. Lord, I pray for these ladies. I thank you for them. I pray, Lord, thank you for their long suffering. I pray they would continue, Lord, to trust you by faith and to know how to respond to their husbands and to respond in faith and trusting the Lord through all. Help them now, Lord, we pray, and bless this food to our bodies in the time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.